You're listening to episode 240 of Women Worldwide. What is a futurist? How do you become one? And with changing market trends and advancing technology, how do you plan for disruption? I've got a guest today who can answer all of these questions, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for tuning in and watching us wherever you are in this world. We appreciate it. There is just so much going on, so much new technology and change. We see this every single day. And I throw this out to you because as our network, we know it's not easy. And if you're faced with any challenges, you can reach out to me and let me know. Let us know what's going on in your world because we want to bring the guests who can give you advice and who can answer your questions. So you know you can tweet me, right? I'm at Dee Breckenridge. Come talk to me on LinkedIn, in-message me, you know, give me a contact request first. You can even email me. I'm deirdre@pureperformancecom.com. Now, I mentioned disruption and technology and all the change that's going on. That is actually the perfect segue to my guest today. Because this show is all about the futurist, right? Now, I had never heard this title. I mean, if I go back years in business, the futurist title just wasn't there. And now I hear it more often these days. And as a matter of fact, our guest today is going to share how to navigate and plan for disruption. So joining me on the show is Dr. Connie Reimers-Hild, and she is a futurist. She is the founder and she's chief futurist of Wild Innovation. And Connie works with entrepreneurs, business owners, leaders, organizations, so that they can navigate fast changing trends and also technology through innovation and strategic foresight. Now, she works with small business owners all the way to your Fortune 500 or maybe even 100 companies. And she really now has a focus on women leaders and transition. So I could go on about Dr. Connie, but I think it's time she shares her journey with you. Dr. Connie, welcome. Welcome to Women Worldwide.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. This is a great podcast and I love the work you do, Deirdre.
Thank you. And I am so interested in the work that you're doing. So I was talking about change and disruption. And before we dive into how do you plan for change and disruption, maybe you could just share how does one become a futurist?
Well, in my case, I actually have training as a futurist. I have a certification from the University of Houston. I think a lot of people come to being a futurist in various ways, but it is actually an academic discipline if you choose to go that route. Other people have taken training or have just had experience doing the work. Although I would say not, it's kind of like coaching where you got to be a little careful. Not everybody that just says they're a futurist, I think, is actually a futurist. So you always want to check in, you know, with anyone you might be interested in working with just to see what their background is and if they've really had the experience and really helped transform clients in a way that you're looking for.
Yeah. Now, Connie, do you feel like you have to educate people, business professionals on what a futurist does or who a futurist is? Or do people generally know now and understand what you do?
I think a lot more, you know, it's getting to be where a lot more people understand what a futurist is. the way I like to explain it is really helping leaders understand, prepare for, and really execute on the future they want to have, that desired future they're seeking. And I work with a lot of individuals, as you mentioned in the intro, doing a lot of leadership coaching, executive coaching, but also a lot of companies who, you know, we don't want people to end up being the blockbuster, you know, of the modern age, right? Didn't we shift. Really want them to anticipate.
Yeah, I mean, you think about companies like Blockbuster is definitely one of them. Kodak always comes to mind. And it's often, sometimes I think they might even see something, but just not shift with the changing trend. In the case of Kodak, I mean, I think they knew that it wasn't going to be film anymore. But because film was just such a big part of their business and a moneymaker, even though they saw digital, they didn't take that road. Is that something that you're finding that you're helping companies with to make sure that they don't make that mistake?
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes what you found was sort of your bread and butter in the past isn't going to be what really helps you have success in the future. And that can be a very hard realization for a lot of companies, and other companies can embrace it. I think the other thing that you see more and more of are these companies really wanting to disrupt industries as a whole. So healthcare is a great example of that. I work with a lot of hospitals and healthcare organizations who now are looking at what does our new business model need to be as we move forward, especially with the change in federal policies around healthcare. You know, we really need to change how we're approaching all this. Technology plays a huge part of this, in this, of course, not just with, you know, how they approach their work, but also with patients who are coming in, you know, more educated. I know that drives a lot of doctors and nurses, you know, crazy, but at the same time, it's also really important to know that, you know, some people really can find what's wrong with them or come to a good conclusion. And we need to be listeners around that, not just brush it off as, oh, that you just Googled all these symptoms and you don't really know what you're talking about.
That's right. So how do you, every company has a vision, or a business owner or an entrepreneur, how would you help them to actually plan for the disruption so that their vision can play out the way that's going to match the market, the technology, the regulations? Well, how do you help them?
A lot of times I help them with the visioning process. I think, you know, too many times we're still, you know, as a futurist, we tend to look really far out, 20, 30, 50 years. But I like to bring businesses back into a five-year vision. What does that really look like for you? And even as individuals within those organizations, you know, it's great for an organization to have a vision, but we also need to see the team, the employees, the leadership group, see themselves within that vision so they can execute on it, be excited about it, knowing that it's not going to be a straight path, right? There's going to be all these winds and curves, and there are multiple futures. So they really need to have the vision, which is the preferred future, the future they're really seeking to get to, but also realizing that it's going to be a winding path that they need to learn to navigate as leaders. And not only just navigate, but also lead. So how can we see what's coming, create the innovation necessary, and know that we may have to tweak that vision because things are happening so quickly, things are changing so quickly, and bring our team with us to do it. It's not always easy, but at the same time, it can be fun. And I think being willing to see what's next is really important. So I think the other thing, in addition to the visioning, is I like to marry that up with coaching, because too often we see, you know, in my work, and I've been doing this for a long time, you know, you can have a workshop or whatever, even a retreat, everybody's jazzed up that day and things are all, you know, exciting and ready to go. But you get back to work, you get back to the office or whatever setting you're in, and the day-to-day just hits you. It just slaps you back in the face sometimes.
Yes, you're right about that.
Yeah, you know, and you can't just put that vision, you know, somewhere in a binder on a, you know, on a shelf. You really have to have it in front of you, in front of your customers. You know, it's a very purpose-driven world right now. So making sure people buy into that and see themselves within it's important. But, you know, use it. You got to put that vision to work every day, every single day. One of the companies I helped several years ago, they kind of, had a vision that was also a purpose statement, serving people, cows, and the planet. They were a small dairy really focused on serving their consumers, but being environmentally conscious as well. And so they used this, they had t-shirts made for their employees, they used it with their customers, they used it with their leadership team, but every day was a daily reminder of what their purpose was, but also where they were wanting to go as they built out their business model. And the coaching part's important because we want to get to that behavior change. We can have a vision, but if we don't change our thought patterns or behaviors to achieve that vision, chances are a little, you know, slimmer and slighter that we're going to actually get there.
Yeah, that's a really good point. What does a leader have to do in order to make sure that the vision continues every single day? And, you know, I just sometimes feel like maybe leaders get in the way of being able to adopt what they should be doing or adapt to new technology or innovation or moving forward.
I think being open is really important and realizing that there's a lot of change around. And so, you know, being open, but also listening and seeing what's next. Like, how do you deliver on something that might be different than what you originally thought? You know, sometimes that can be hard as a leader because you have this vision of where you want to take things, and it may not be the time or place for that vision. So constantly checking in, lifting your head up, and really getting out of that day-to-day and into the longer term is important. And that can be hard as leaders because we have a lot going on every day.
Sure.
And you're really putting out fires a lot of times. And so building a good team around you is really important so that you can look at that vision and really revisit it, make sure you're on track. But also, you know, the whole group is on board to going there and, you know, being open to discussion and debate around things. You know, you don't want a bunch of people, yes, that just agree with you. You actually want to have robust discussion and listen to those customers, because those customers are what really help drive the future as well. A lot of times they may bring in ideas that you didn't even think about. You know, that's why you see a lot of contests, for example. You know, Domino's, I think, was a great example of this, you know, with their pizza. They just kind of were like, yeah, okay, our pizza's not great.
We listened. They changed their sauce, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, they've had some fun with it. You know, they knew they needed to change, but they had some fun with it and they engaged their employees. They engaged their consumer base. And, you know, that's one of the things I've really been focusing on now is fun for your future, because so often right now in this point of stress, we can get very negative and it's hard for us to spot opportunities if we're negative and in the drama of it all. And so having some fun with it, enjoying coming to work, building a business, achieving that vision is a really important part of the process.
There's so much to unpack from what you said, because I'm hearing leaders check your egos at the door. Having a vision and going down a path, you have to be flexible enough to back up, go sideways, go another way, right? And the people around you, this is all about relationships. And in order to even be open to your team's perspective, that team has to trust you and feel like they can share. So I would think that relationship building skills, emotional intelligence would really play a part in this as well.
Well, absolutely. And the work you do, communication. You know, I think, you know, that's where sometimes we think we're communicating, but we're not. We, you know, with all the forms of communication, I think that even gets more confusing for people sometimes because, you know, an email sent out and then there's a direct message and then there's a memo and there's, you know, 50 things saying the same thing, but because there's too much, people check out,
right,
and don't become part of that process.
Yeah, the communication part is really important, and understanding where people want, expect you to communicate and how that's going to come across the best way to them. And I do feel like there are so many different channels, but that doesn't necessarily mean we should be using those channels. And to really rethink and to be targeted in communication.
That's right. And you really brought up a key word too, trust, right? It's really hard to be creative and innovative and make those bold moves or even changes that you need if you don't trust one another. Because, you know, a lot of these change efforts, people get scared and nervous. They're like, oh, am I losing my job? You know, what's happening here?
Sure.
And if you can build that culture of trust and creativity, which does include some fun, you know, when I do visioning, I like to make it a very creative process, crayons, paints, clay.
Oh my gosh, that sounds really fun.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, because you have to get creative about it. Otherwise, it's pretty boring. You know, a lot of times I'll have a company like, well, just give me some examples. People will get frustrated in the process because it's not, you know, a 5-minute process. And they're like, oh, just give us some examples. I'm like, no, no examples. You're just going to fill in the blank and then it won't be yours. You know,
right.
You need it to be uniquely yours. You want it to be sticky. You want it to have that meaning to you and your customers. And the best way to do that is to enjoy the process, but also work through what's challenging, because it's after that challenge usually and that disagreement that we get to the great stuff.
Absolutely. Well, we are going to pick up on challenges, but first, I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to shift our focus to the sponsor of today's episode, which is Routledge Publishing. And Dr. Connie, have you ever heard of Routledge before?
I have.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, for all of the Women Worldwide Network out there, Routledge is one of the world's leading publishers of textbooks and academic journals. And they're also the publisher of my book, Answers for Modern Communicators. And Dr. Connie, this book is me answering over 150 questions, all for the modern communicator on reputation, relationship building, social media, measurement, mentoring. And I thought it would be so much fun to have you answer a question from my book. So what do you say? Are you game?
I'm totally game. Let's go for it.
Okay. So now I've been doing my homework on you, and I know that you were the host of a podcast show. So that's why your question is question number 107. What does it take to start a podcast?
I think it takes a lot of guts. I mean, I really do. I think anytime you're wanting to put something new out in the world, you have to have that confidence and that, you know, ability to take some calculated risks to really make it happen, regardless of, you know, what people are going to say or think or what the response is going to be. Because, you know, as you know, as somebody that puts a lot of great content out there in the world, sometimes the response is amazing. And most of the time it is, but you also get those like negative ones. You really have to like, okay, I got to hear and listen and see what they're saying to make these improvements. But sometimes that's hard because you put your heart and soul into this type of work. But I think you have to be, you know, be able to take a risk. But I think you also have to be willing to put yourself out there. And I think that's a gutsy move for anybody.
That's a great answer. And I agree 100%. So thank you for answering that question. And a big thanks to Routledge for being our sponsor and for publishing my book. And for anybody out there who wants to download a free chapter from my book, Answers for Modern Communicators, you can type in your browser bit.ly/learningtheessentials. So that's bit.ly/learningtheessentials. And you can get a free chapter to read. And of course, let me know what you think. Okay, Dr. Connie, let's dive back into our discussion. So we left off, we were talking about teams and trust, and you had mentioned the word challenges. So I'd like to pivot a little bit for this segment of the show to make it more personal about you as a woman in business, as someone who navigates disruption all the time as a futurist. So talk to us about maybe some of your challenges, what you've seen along the way as you've been building your business.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, recently I myself just left a 25-year career at a university. So, you know, that's where I've heard of Routledge and your sponsor. It was a great career, but, you know, I hit mid-career and I'm like, wow, is this where I really see my future? And I didn't, to be quite honest. I didn't. You know, I'm a late bloomer to parenthood. So my kids are just now getting into that busy stage. But I've also noticed sort of this epidemic of women leaving their jobs in mid-career, like I did, and really thinking about what's next, or they're in careers where they're thinking about what's next. And
right.
So I've really started to focus my work on middle-aged women who, you know, we have 15, 20 years left to work, but we're not the bright, shiny, young superstar anymore. We look a little older, which does have certain implications in the workplace, but we also have kind of an outdated working model in many places. And mine was a very traditional workplace. My husband's is too. So one of us had to give something to make all this work. And, you know, I've always been an entrepreneur. I've had my firm now for, you know, since 2005, but have just done it in little bits and pieces and was really, you know, really jazzed about growing that and focusing on that more because, you know, being a futurist, you're in pretty high demand. And when you marry that with coaching and leadership, it's awesome. But I also really want women to be successful in whatever it is they want to do. And seeing that women in midlife are a little bit more challenged around that, and there's not a lot of work going on in that space, there's bits and pieces, there's starting to be more, but I think this is a huge area for women and for men, because what we don't want to see is our employees disengaged in their mid-career. We really want to see them re-engaged in their mid-career, and we want them to be happy, we want them to enjoy what they're doing, and that makes our customers happy, that makes our bottom line happy, and so being able to put this together, I think, is really, really important.
No, that really is important. Sounds like you had a, I mean, not just you, but anybody who is at the that midpoint, you have to step back and really, it's self-discovery. It's reinvention. And that takes guts because it's so easy to get caught up in a role, a position, a job, a career where maybe you're 65% or maybe you're only 45%, but you're doing it because you just can't take that risk. So it's good to be in a position to do what you did. And do you find that when you talk to other professionals that they're hesitant because it's a safer space or they think it's safer to stay in a role?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that. And, you know, you get to a certain point in life too, you know, you have your mortgage, you know, kids are thinking about college or in college, you know, all these things. You're like, okay, how do we make this work? And luckily, you know, the challenge of being a dual career couple is also that you have a dual career couple. So, and that's the positive as well. We're like, okay, how do we shift and downsize, kind of rethink the budget to make sure we can live on the one income and the money I was making in consulting and coaching. But then also just figure out what we really want in life together as a family. And, you know, like you mentioned, you know, my career, I was very career driven. I didn't even know if I wanted them for a long time. I was a second oldest of six kids. I took care of my little brothers and sisters. They're a lot younger than me, some of them. So for me, and I grew up very
like you were already a parent.
Yeah. I was just like, you know, I want to make some money. I want to be this big career woman, you know, and doing all these things. But I'm so glad I had kids. I mean, and I think in our generation too, there was this message of you can have it all, you can do it all, you can be all. But I saw very few women at the top of my organization that had kids or were married. You know, the ones that had made it to the top were single or didn't have kids. And for me, I was like, wow, that's not where I'm at all. And even, you know, I'm still going through a transition process myself in many ways. I was playing football with my son after school the other day because now I can go pick him up. You know, I've never done this
day.
Yeah, I mean, it's been super fun. So we're out there tossing the football around. And all of a sudden it hit me. I never did this with my daughter because she's older. Yeah, it was one of those really huge.
That's an aha moment.
Oh, it was so big. I'm like, oh, I wonder how many hours is that? You know, I was so focused on my career. And then, you know, for many reasons, not all of them positive, I didn't want to be there anymore. You know, one of those reasons was pay. Right. I was paid $158,000 less than my predecessor.
Wow.
That was way too big of a gap for me to say, yeah, I'd rather do this instead of spend time with my family. And I know there are other ways I can make money. I know there's a way to create a full life, not just have a job that I'm so focused on, I'm not doing anything else. And I think, you know, in midlife, that really did hit me. It hit my husband. And even with our kids, I want to show them that they can create the life they want. I want them to be part of this business. My daughter's making videos for me because she can.
Yeah, she just gets- That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been a fun family process too. I've always been an entrepreneur, but I want them to know that that's a life choice that they can make, but also a great potential of, you know, like you mentioned before, staying at a job isn't necessarily safe, especially in this day and age.
That's true.
You know, we've seen a lot of our parents, my dad included, you know, he finally did well in his career and then they closed the meatpacking plant he was at a couple years before retirement. And here he did it all. You know, I mean, it happens. And I wanted to teach them something else, but I also wanted to experience something else. And I wanted to have more fun while working. Right. I mean, we spend a lot of time working. I love working, but I really wanted to enjoy it. And I wanted my family to enjoy it too, because I'm a better person at home when I'm enjoying what I do for work.
That's great. I mean, I can relate to what you're saying about, especially with your daughter creating videos. I've been involving our kids in my business for the longest time. I've always felt like it has to be a blend. I remember taking my daughter to Las Vegas, of all places, because I had a client there, JVC, at a trade show. I mean, Megan was stuffing boxes for clients on like a little assembly line when she was 5 years old. Yeah, but it also showed, it shows what you do. It shows your work ethic, responsibility, and most of all, they're there with you, which is really, really great. So I love that you said that. Now, on the note of family and designing your day and being able to go and throw around a football, do you ever have days where you feel like you're stressed or overwhelmed, or do you feel because you've kind of transitioned into the coaching that you know how to manage everything and it's a lot easier?
I don't know if I'm ever going to know how to manage everything. I don't know if I'm ever going to totally have that figured out. But
such an honest answer. That's so good.
No, it's just so true. Because, you know, the thing is, it's been a transition. The great thing is with the knowledge and experience of both futuring and coaching, you know, I had to walk my talk, right? What's my future? What's my vision? And we've done that as a family as well, you know, because I think it shouldn't be done at just work. It really should be done with your family. Where does our family, you know, for example, we've talked about, where do we want to go on vacation before the kids graduate? Now, this is several years away, but we've got to decide, because we're not going to make it all, right? We're not going to be able to do it all. So what are our priorities? And also, what do we want to experience here, you know, in the next 5 to 7 years for ourselves? And so we get out the markers and crayons, we draw all out.
You guys are fun.
A family event. Yeah. And it has to be something the kids are involved with too, because just like employees need to see themselves in the future business, we need kids to see themselves in the future family and in the and really have that experience in the present that they're enjoying, because we are creating our future today, whether we think we are or not. What our decisions today are creating that future. And so we have to believe we can get to that future. We want to be able to see that future, but we also want those actions and beliefs to match up with that future to make it real.
This is getting really, really deep, but I agree with you, because everything that we're taking in now, our thoughts, our feelings, every behavior and action will be how the future plays out. There's no doubt about it. Everything that we are right now was because maybe years ago we were doing things that are now playing out. And the future, whether it's in business or family future, I think that it goes across the board. So I'm really glad that you shared that piece of advice, because most people think futurist, oh, business. I started off asking you about technology, and you know, we were talking healthcare, but look at the future of the family. And you said two really important things: it's priorities and experience. And where do you want to be with your family? That none of us, women, men in business, we should never forget that.
Absolutely, and that hasn't always been, you know, a big conversation. And again, that's part of why I made the decision I did when I asked, you know, about I really wanted to be clear with my process of deciding whether or not I was going to stay. And when I brought up, you know, I need to make sure this works for my family, I was told, well, that's none of my concern. You have to figure that out. I'm like, oh, geez. You know, and this is a person who studies people and leadership, you know? So for me, I'm like, okay. That is not the kind of leader I am at all. And it's not the kind of culture organization I wanted to be a part of. But it is easy for us to be, you know, too busy and to not really be thoughtful or intentional around what future it is we want to create. That's why I like to blend, you know, the traditional futuring, which a lot of people go to technology, but with humanity and with the environment, because so many of these pieces will really shape how that technology plays out in the future.
Connie, this is so great. I can't even believe that I'm about to ask you the advice question. I could talk to you for hours, but we're up to the part where you get to share advice with women worldwide. What do you want to tell them about their futures and how they can build it and what they should be doing?
Absolutely. I recently published a book, The Bee Who Was Too Busy, and I'll have information on my website about it, askdrconnie.com. But really being intentional about what you want your future to be. You know, enjoy sitting back and having some fun with this. I have an exercise free download on my website, askdrconnie.com. You know, what do you want your dream life to be in 2025? And we're approaching 2020, right? So this isn't that far away. So sit down, you know, get that hot cup of tea, whatever you like to do to enjoy yourself, do it for your family, and then take it to work. Have some fun and, you know, enjoy it. And as I get ready to launch F School, which is going to be Futuring School for Women here in October, that's a big premise. We need to have more fun in our crazy busy lives, and really just enjoy the present to build that future.
F School, that sounds so cool. Okay, so you mentioned your website, askdrconnie.com. Is there anywhere else that people can find you that you want to share?
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AskDrConnie or LinkedIn, Connie Reimers-Hild. You can search me out, find me. I'd love to connect with all your listeners out there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your journey, making us understand the importance of future in business and your family life, that it goes across the board. And most of all, just making us feel like, wow, we can create our future. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for putting your work out into the world. Women Worldwide is amazing. Your calm work is amazing. Thank you for all you bring to this global society we're in.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Please keep the feedback coming. We love to hear from you. So you can tweet me on Twitter. I'm at Deep Breckenridge. Find me on LinkedIn. You can email me if you want. I'm Deirdre@pureperformancecom with two M's. .com. And you know what? Don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel so you can watch me with super guests like Dr. Connie. And you can also go to the womenworldwideshow.com website and sign up for our updates. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.